started here. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the rain that you sent. And we thank you for the sunshine that's here today, Lord. We thank you for the glory that we see when we look up in the skies. We thank you for your presence, for your spirit, Lord. We pray that you fill us, that you anoint us to understand your word, and that it goes deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, good morning. We're changing the direction here a little bit. We're changing track. And going back to something, and a couple of weeks ago, Pastor used a verse in one of his sermons. It's the same verse that I started out class with the week before. And it's from 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the house of God. If judgment begins with us first, who? The house of God, right? Us. Who's the house of God? We are. We are. We are. The house of God. If judgment begins with us first, what will be the end for those who disobey the good news of God or the gospel of God? I cannot get away from this verse. No matter how hard I try, I've tried and tried and tried, and I cannot get away from it. I am convinced of something inside me, and it's been going on now for 1 Peter 4:17. It's been going on now for not just a few weeks or a few months, but it's actually been going on for over a year now. And I can't, no matter how hard I try, I cannot get away with it. Can't get away from it. So we're going to start off on something starting today that is going to be difficult, I think, for some people. Actually, it may be difficult for all of us. And I say it will be difficult for all of us because it's going to be difficult for me. It's something that I feel like I've got to do. And we may have more people coming to this class just to see what in the world is going to come out of my mouth. And some of you may have a hard time with what I say and may never come back. And I'm prepared for both of those. I don't want either, but I'm prepared for both of it. Okay, because some of the stuff that God's been showing me for a while now is difficult for me. It's not only difficult for me to understand and grab a hold of, but it's also difficult for me to face. Okay? So we're going somewhere with this. And this is going to, we're going to travel down this road together. It's going to take us a while. But, you know, we've spent a lot of time in this class, and especially in the past, taking a book of the Bible and going through word by word, verse by verse, and getting in and looking at the details of stuff. What does the world look like? Think about this. What does the world look like? If you live in Fort Payne, Alabama, and you've never been anywhere else, and you've never flown on an airplane, you think the world looks like Fort Payne. You think you have no leaves on the trees in the wintertime. In the summertime, everything is green. Sometimes it rains forever, and sometimes it never rains. And you think that is the world, right? But, and so you don't understand what the world is because you've only seen a part of it. However, if you go in a rocket up to the space station and you look out over the Earth, you see what the entire Earth looks like. But even then, you only see one side of it. Okay? But it's much bigger than if you looked at the big thing. So what we're going to be doing partly is we're going to be taking a look, the 30,000-foot view, the big view. And we're going to be all over the Scripture. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to burrow down into some things really close, but a lot of it is going to be looking over the whole big thing. At least that's where I'm hoping. So we will be everywhere. Some stuff we will stay hard on one verse for a while. Some stuff we'll go boom, boom, boom down through there like that. Now, the reason we're doing this is because we are in trouble. The earth, the world is in trouble. And the world is in trouble because the church is in trouble. Okay? And when I say the church is in trouble, I mean the body of Christ is in trouble. The church, universal, worldwide, there are pockets that I believe are doing exactly what they're supposed to be, but overall, the church is in trouble. That means the church in America is in trouble. Okay? The church in DeKalb County is in trouble. Fort Payne Family Worship, as much as we love it, is in trouble. And since I am a part of the church and I am part of this church, I am in trouble. Okay? Because I am the body. When it says here in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin with the house of God, I am the house of God. Okay? Now, we have a tendency to do something, and we're going to try not to do that, this thing here. This is what we tend to do. As people in general, if I've got something bothering me physically, I just brush it off. It gets a little bit worse. I just brush it off. Oh, it's no big deal. Just a little thing. I wait till there's a bone sticking out, there's blood gushing, I can't walk, I can't pick anything up, and then I go and I say, something's wrong. Guess what? Something was wrong. Women do it too. Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, you do. You know how many mothers I've seen go and not take care of themselves forever because it would take away from their kids? Everybody does it. We all do this. We don't pay attention to something until it's so bad that it makes us do it. But the thing is, it is no worse then than it was when it started. When you have cancer, when it's right here, I got a little bit of cancer. A little bit of cancer is just as big as the big old cancer over here that finally makes me do something. It's still cancer. To say, I don't have it, doesn't make it go away. It makes it get worse and worse and worse till I may get to the point where I can't do anything about it anymore. Okay? As the church, as a body of believers, as Fort Payne Family Worship, as me, I don't need to say, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. It's not that bad. We always rank on the pretty good scale. Okay? Pretty good scale. All of humanity was cast out of the garden because someone ate something that they were told not to eat. Is that bad? Yep. Obviously, it's bad enough to get us all tossed out. Yeah. Okay, and remember the man in the book of Numbers who went and started picking up sticks on the Sabbath? And so they took him to Moses, and Moses said, God, what do you want me to do with him? And they said, well, stone him. He was picking up sticks on Saturday. That deserves death? Well, obviously, the pretty good scale doesn't work. There's something else going on here. So let's try not to do that. Let's try not to say, oh, it's not that bad. But really look at what God is saying, and not what God is saying to you. I don't need to bother with what God's saying to you or to you, but all of this is written to me. So take it. Let's try to take it like that and not dismiss it. Not to say, well, this is a Methodist problem. This is a Presbyterian problem. It's a Catholic problem. It's a Baptist problem. No, it's our problem. Our problem, okay? So let's try not to do that. So what we have to do first is we have to set a baseline to where we all start from, okay? All of chapter 4 of 1 Peter is about how we should live as believers in the last days. Does anyone think that we are not in the last days? Jesus said we were in the last days. That was 2,000 years ago, so we must be in the really, really, really last days now, right? Okay, last of the last. So we are definitely in the last days. So this chapter 4 is telling us how we are to live. But I've got to understand where he's coming from. I have to try to get at the same baseline that they were at. And we are not. We are not at the same baseline that Peter and these people were at. Compared to them, we are biblical monkeys. We can pick it up and play with it and throw it around, but we don't understand what's going on because we haven't sat down and read it. And I'm talking about in general. Okay? In the biblical literacy of most of the body of Christ is pitiful. And the thing of taking a book and spending all of our time on a book and learning that book doesn't help if I don't know the big picture. Okay? So, let's go back. Where do you always start? You start at the beginning. Okay? Now, this is not going to be a let's study the book of Genesis. Because we could, and that would be great, but it's not going to serve our purpose. But we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And I'm just going to... Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In Hebrew, it's Bereshit, bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'ares. Bereshit means the beginning, before anything else. Before there's anything else, Elohim. Bereshit, bara Elohim. Hebrew is a little odd in the way that usually the instead of you having a noun with a verb telling you what the noun's doing, usually the object of it is the action, and then you've got a noun telling you who did the action. And it's kind of, and you think about it, it's kind of the way God is. I don't care who you are, what are you doing? Okay, the Hebrew, the way Hebrew plays out is the same way. So you have Bereshit bara, in the beginning created. So before anything else, there's something is created. That's the object of the, and who it is that does it is Elohim. Now we've talked about this before. Elohim is the plural of Eloah. So in the beginning, we've already got something presented to us. God is plural. Okay? Now we've been over this before, so you know it's fairly. It's going to be common to you, but we're going to go over it once more. If you go to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Him, and apart from Him, nothing was made that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about what? The light. So that through him, who? The light, everyone might believe. He was not the light, John was not the light, but he came to bear witness concerning the light. The true light coming into the world gives light to the Jews?
Every man.
Every man. He was in the world, and the world was not, the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own. Who's his own? The Jews. Came to his own. But his own did not receive him. In general. Okay? But whoever... Who's that? Everybody else. Whoever. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, to these he gave the right to become what? Children of God. The sons of God. Okay? Where does judgment begin? The household of God. That's the children of God. The sons of God. So this is us, right? All right. The Word became flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us. We looked upon His glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Who's full of grace and truth? God. And it's the Son. Okay, Elohim. But in this, John is talking specifically about Messiah, about Jesus. But God, Word, the Word, Jesus, okay, is Elohim. We've got God, we call the Father, right? Sometimes we call the Godhead. We've got the Son, Jesus. We've got the Spirit, right? Right in here. But all of this right here is Elohim, right? Okay, Elohim. They are not three separate beings. They are one. Remember the Shema. Okay, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is Echad, one. One God. Okay? It ain't easy. Try not to... We can shake our heads and pretend we understand it. We don't. Okay? But it's still true. Okay? Now we go back to Genesis chapter 1. So in the beginning, Elohim. Bereshit bara Elohim. Okay? So at the very beginning... We get this concept, Elohim. He's created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep. And the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, okay, was hovering upon the surface of the water. In verses 1 and 2, and then if you go and read John, we see in just verses 1 and 2, we have the whole package, right at the beginning. And I know this because what have I got here? I've got Elohim, God. He's creating the heavens and the earth. The Ruach, the Spirit, okay? And Ruach, it's the word that's used for spirit, for breath, for wind. Breath. Wind, the Spirit, it's the Ruach Elohim, the Ruach of God, was hovering on the face. And God said, let there be light. Okay, light, the light of the world. And the light, and there was light. God saw the light was good. So God distinguished the light from the darkness. He called the light in the day, and darkness he called night. So there was evening and morning one day. What do we not have yet? We don't have sun, moon, and stars yet. Where's the light coming from? The light of the world. Light of the world, John 1. Okay? The Son, the light of the world. God, right now, God is providing everything that we need. Elohim, okay? What do we not have yet? We don't have anything yet. We've got a ball of rock and water. Okay? That's what we've got. Now, if you go through here, you don't get light till day 4. But you get a separation of the waters, you get the heaven, you get the earth, you get plants, you get the sun, moon, and stars, you get birds, you get fish. What do we not have yet? Animals. Me. Don't have me yet. Yes. You know what? There's a whole lot of stuff before me. There's chickens before me. There's fish before me. There's all kinds of things before me. Okay? Yeah, I don't know about that. Okay? But we've got all this creation going on. I'm not even here yet. We are not even here yet. God has managed to make birds, fish, sky, sun, moon, stars, everything without me. Did just fine, thank you, without me. Okay? Does that mean I'm unimportant? No, it doesn't mean I'm unimportant. What it means is I'm not needed to make the universe function. I'm not needed to make the world function. Okay? The sun comes up in the morning with or without me. Okay? It is not me. It rains with or without me, and the sun comes out up with or without me. Not that I'm not important to God, but I am not required. I'm not like a gear in a machine that if you take me out, it doesn't work anymore. Okay? Now, let's go to... Okay, let's skip. We're just going to go past all the birds and stuff. Okay? I'm not worried about the eternal salvation of geese. Okay, we're going to go on. We're going to go on, though, to chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 26 through 28. Remember I said I'm going to say some stuff that's going to make you say, this guy's a nut, I'm never coming back again. Then God said, so who's Elohim? Okay, in Hebrew. Then Elohim, he says this. He says, let what?
Us.
Let us make what?
Man.
Who does he say? No, listen. He says, Adam. What does that mean? I'm Adam. You're Adam. You're Adam. You're Adam. You're Adam. 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 All of us. Adam means human. Mankind. I am human. I am Adam. Okay? Let us. But it's the name of a person, too. Okay? But let us make Adam in our image. Our image. Okay? In the image of this. Okay? In the image of Elohim. So to be in Elohim's image, it means I must be like Elohim in some way. We must be like him in some way. Okay? Not him. But we are like him in some way. Let us make him in our image. I've got a photograph. Wait, I got a photograph right here. Driver's license photograph. Okay? Is this me?
No,
can this do everything I can do? It looks like me. Okay? In the image of doesn't mean exactly like, but it means if I look at this, then I know that that's supposed to look, it looks like me, okay? It's in my image. It has the same characteristics, the same, okay? So in our likeness, let them, okay? Them, let Ha'adam, the man, the people, rule over the fish of the sea, over the flying creatures of the sky, over the livestock, over the whole earth, and over every crawling creature that crawls on the land. So what is it, what is he saying here? We're going to make him in our image, and his kingdom will be
the earth.
He will rule over what? Everything that what? Everything what? All the creatures, the sky, all the stuff I have created, he will rule over that. Okay? Mankind, Ha'adam, the man, will rule over all of this. Yes? Okay, I thought you were asking a question. 27. God, Elohim, bara, he created what? What does your Bible say?
Man. Adam.
Adam. Ha'adam. In this instance, it's Ha'adam. Ha'adam. Ha'adam is the Adam, the person, the human. Okay? God created. 27, God created Ha'adam, humankind, the man, in his image. And here's something that will get kind of tricky for you. In the image of God, he created, what does it say?
Him.
Anybody else that say anything different than him? No? Okay. This is a funny one. It's an untranslatable mark of the accusative state. In Hebrew, it cannot be translated. It's a mark that's used to point to somebody, but it doesn't translate at all into English. Now most will use him. It could very well have been it. Okay, it has no gender. We put him in there, and I think they do that because it's. We're talking about man and all that, but it's a mark that has no gender and it's untranslatable. Male, and here's why it should matter, because it says God created him, as how our Bibles go into English, because we have nothing else to put there. And Then it says, comma, male and female, he created them. That went quick. All right. We are going to have to stop right here. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the land and conquer it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the flying creatures of the sky, and over every animal that crawls on the land. We will pick up next week at verse 28. And we're going someplace with this that is important. Okay?